It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Gil, you know what I can't wait for every week?
Himalaya.
The Himalaya. When our podcast hits on Himalaya, it's the highlight of the week. So when you want to be the first to listen to the No Chill podcast a day early, remember that, go to Himalaya. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love, along with future favorites. If you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has your back like they have ours. You discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters, like us, some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya. Don't forget to follow the No Chill podcast.
When you're the early bird gets the worm.
Early bird special.
Yep.
That's us. We got something for everybody. All ages, come get us. On this episode of the No Chill podcast, we get into the Rookie of the Year race. It's one of the closest to call in years. Actually, this year's rookie class has been all around fantastic. But it clearly comes down to Luka Doncic and Trae Young. Luka jumped out of the gates, playing at a high level and showing that his game would absolutely translate from Europe. As for Trae, he answered the doubters with his dynamic playmaking ability, scoring talents, and delivering in the clutch for the Hawks, especially on the back half of the season. Thanks to a draft day trade, these two will always be linked together, and after this season, both will have their teams hyped to build around their young stars. So before the awards handed out, we handed out. Gil makes his call, and of course he has good reasons. This is a good one, so let's get right into it. Remember, it's a No Chill podcast. You can always get us first on the Himalaya app and also wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. So I don't think anyone's done this yet, but we're going to do something today. We're going to hand out an award.
Okay. Oh, I love awards.
Yeah. We don't have a trophy.
I love awards when I get them. When I get them.
When your name's... How many trophies did you get when you were... Like, did you have a trophy room?
No.
No?
I mean, I got a Most Improved and Rookie All-Star MVP.
I mean, even before that, like high school and travel and stuff like that, did you have a big trophy room?
No.
Did you keep all that stuff?
I mean, Park League? No.
I've always wondered that, you know, like guys get... I had a like few Park trophies League, like, when I played, oh, but I'm, not oh, like
track.
That.
I was a track runner. So I had track, you know, that all, you know, but when it came to basketball, not now.
You know, it's funny, like, so kids play in, like, there's the Jordan Classic, the Iverson Classic, McDonald's All-American, and, like, you get all these,
yeah,
like,
what do they actually do? Yeah, I didn't have none of that. I didn't play in the Jordan, none of that, nah.
They didn't exist.
They didn't do that at the
Park
League.
It was one thing, right? But you went to camps, like, what?
No. I was going to adult, I was playing adult league, so.
But you didn't go, was anything like ABCD camp or?
Yeah, I went to ABCD, but I got hurt the first day, so I didn't actually perform ABCD. It was just a good experience just being there, so.
But that's part of, you know,
you don't get a trophy. You don't get a trophy for just sitting there.
Get some like cool
gear. Yeah, cool gear. ABCD camp. Yeah, you know, you going around. Yeah, I made it to the AB. You know, but.
But for rookies, what do you want? You want that Rookie of the Year trophy?
Yes.
And this year we got a close one. Like.
Yeah, we do. We kind of got a close.
You know what? The people they're on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you Team Luka or Team Trae? It's right down to those two. And the crazy thing for those two is that they're going to be forever connected because they were traded for each other.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's now, crazy. That's a great one right there. This is a great story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what story? What side of the story?
That they've actually been traded for each other, and they're the number one and two candidate for Rookie of the Year.
You know, the funny thing, though, is what I'll say is, so Luka, you know, obviously was the one to Dallas, but Dallas gave up a pick, so Atlanta got Trae and a future first round protected pick, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's Dallas's pick is not in the top five, Atlanta gets it.
Okay.
For as close as these guys are, that's a sweetener for me. I'll take that pick.
If it's six.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 4-5, If it's four, five, three, two, Dallas, you know, it all depends, you know, how you see it.
Well, they'll still get a pick, but yeah. But for what these two were, there was a lot of hype on them. Mm-hmm. You know, Luka obviously played professionally young overseas, lit it up, was on everyone's radar. Everyone was saying he was going to be the next big thing. And there was always doubters for him. And it was like, oh, well, this kid.
I started off as one.
Yeah.
I can admit that.
What was it about him that jumped at you? Like, I don't know if he's going to make it.
That he looked a little too slow to play. He looked a little too slow to play the point. And, well, he looked normal for a point.
Like
he
6'7".
You can be 6'7", slow as a point guard because it's not like they're pressing. So that really didn't matter because, you know, Turkoglu was the half court point. As a two, you kind of was too slow for the two. So it was one of those things like, all right, you know, where is he going to? If he actually plays the point, he'll be fine. If he goes to the two, he might struggle just a little bit. Who knows? But, you know, I was on the bottom side of him. Mm-hmm. You know, I had him as everyone. Oh, no, it wasn't. You know what? I had him as the third pick. I didn't have him as the first pick. You know, everyone was like first or second. I was like, no, I wouldn't pick him for a second. Maybe third. He looks like he's smart. He's a smart player.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I didn't think the draft order. I mean, I think it was pretty clear cut. For me, it was DeAndre Ayton was the most, like, sure thing. Mm-hmm. You know, what we saw is what you got. Mm-hmm. And I think this season for him has been that. Like, he's a nice player. Puts up good numbers, you know. It's definitely something that Phoenix can build around. Mm-hmm. They'll be good. But as far as, like, guys that are taking that leap, it's clearly Luka and Trey.
Yeah.
And Trey was another one that he really – the thing to me was he was on a heater early in his first season at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's where he just exploded onto the scene. Everybody was like, who is this kid? He's the next Steph Curry. And then he kind of fell back a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Which is going to happen.
What's so funny is when, you know, you're talking about him on a heater and then him, like, basically be non-existing in our memory towards the end – that made sense because now the teams are going to zone them. They're going to double them. They're going to trap them. They're going to pick them up full court. Well, with that kind of attention, yeah, that's going to happen. But when you're surrounded by 13 other NBA players, they're not doubling you. They're not going to trap you. They're not going to do all that. So you're going to just look like the first half. You know, once you get, you know, you're going to look like the first half of your college career. A guy who's hitting shots and just going where he wants because really it's just between you and, you know, your man and, you know, whatever pick and roll you try.
But the thing with rookies that what you always want to see is, will they live up to the hype? And I think these two did that. And that's the greatest thing because what you don't want is a guy like, you know, like Markelle Fultz. You know, there's all this hype around him. He's a top pick and it's just like it didn't come together. Mm-hmm. It hasn't come together for him yet. Or a guy like Lonzo where there's so many, the expectations are sky high. And it's really, really hard to live up to that. Like, that's what people don't see. Like, it's so fucking hard to be. Like, you're going to save a franchise. You're 19 years old.
You know what's so funny with Trey? Because he wasn't picked one, two, or three, he didn't really have, like, as much hype as, you know, like somebody when Lonzo came in. He didn't really have that high hype. He was, Trey could be the next Steph Curry. But it was either be the next Steph Curry or you bust. So, you know, with that's a
hell of a job.
I mean, but that's a hell of a wiggle room. Mm-hmm. You don't really have nothing. You don't really have nothing to worry about because if you're decent, you're decent. So he didn't really have something like Zoe coming in. You're the franchise guy. You're Jason Kidd. Well, that's a big difference. You know, you're Jason Kidd in the franchise. So you're Hall of Fame or you're Magic Johnson. You know, it's, whoa, you know, it's, that's,
yeah.
You know, like when I remember when I was watching, you know, like what is his, I remember Rick Balderbrand putting up, what's his stats going to be his rookie season? I looked at, you know, his game and said, 12-7, is it 12-7-6? Oh, I'm the biggest hater in the world. You know, you got 29 and 20 and 9. And I said,
yeah, what do you expect? 30, 10 and 15?
But that's because of the hype. That's what people expect. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, I mean, he's not a natural scorer. He's a natural passer. The rebounds was at 6 because I didn't, you know, really think he was that good at rebounding. You know, he proved me wrong there. But everything else was, eh. And then his second year, you know, I said, 12-5-5. Everyone thought I was the fucking biggest shit hater, dickhead ever. And then,
because
I was like, well, you know, he's not going to get as many rebounds with LeBron coming, with Michael Beasley and JaVale. You know, those are rebounders. You know, Rondo rebounds too. So that's, he's not going to have as many opportunities to get as many rebounds as he did before. When it came to assist, I didn't see flat out shooters come on that team. But what I did see is Rondo, another playmaker. Lance Stevenson, a playmaker. LeBron, a playmaker. So I didn't see how Zoe was going to average 10 assists with LeBron being on the court, but when LeBron is the dominant ball carrier.
Well, that's exactly it, is when you look at a kid, when the team you get drafted to, you got to kind of scratch your head a little bit, make sure it's a good fit.
Yeah, so I wrote
the players that they have around them.
Yeah, so I wrote 10-5-5, everyone, mm-hmm. you know, eh. And then he averaged 9-5-4. Mm-hmm. I mean, 9-4-5. I was like, eh, told you.
The profit.
You know, so it all depends.
It's just like you're being realistic.
Like, the only person who's really lived up to expectations is LeBron. When you think about all the hype that one person can have.
You're saying that the bar was set. The bar was like impossibly high. Because guys like KD or Chris Paul, like, they were... Like,
good.
We thought that guy was going to be good. The shit, and they were.
But when you That's say, cool. you got to remember, when you say hype, number one player, 100 yeah. million, the next GOAT.
Yep.
And
the chosen one, the king.
It got there, you know. KD, oh, great player, number two pick. Oh, shit, rookie of the year. Not like, but you're the number two pick. You're not really considered the next GOAT. And then, boom, here you go. Everybody.
But there were KD, there were doubters for him. Undersized, too skinny. You know,
undersized?
Weight-wise.
Oh, I was going to say, he came
That's
in
what
at...
Said, too skinny.
What's so funny is he came in at 6'10 and a half. I don't know where to be honest, I don't know where the hell everyone got 6'9 from.
Yeah.
Like, KD came in, it says 6'9. I looked at his draft numbers. He was 6'10 and a half.
But more like 7 feet.
But I mean, on draft day, yeah. what I'm saying, at 18,
yeah.
he was already 6'10 and a half. So where did they get 6'9 from originally? So
high school.
So, but the hype of him coming in, you know, it wasn't, he didn't have he didn't have this big hype. I think the second hype player was Zoe.
Mm-hmm. But not the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
like
he was.
Is that what you're
but he wasn't.
Guys, guys were there just.
He
so
wasn't
much.
The. Yeah, he wasn't the number one pick. But as far as hype coming in, yes, he was. Since LeBron,
where did that hype come from, though?
Daddy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the only one that had that. Yeah. So, but you know, back to Trey and Luka, that it was great to see that. Okay, these guys are for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the questions around Luka: is he slow? Is he a European player? Can he play the American style of play? And you know, what position is he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really is a 6'7" point guard,
mm-hmm.
Super skilled, can finish. He's prepared for this. With Trey, he's a little undersized, you know, as far as weight. Because mm-hmm. what is he? He's like 6'6".
I'm sorry, and I'm just going to stop. What the fuck does weight have to do with anything? What is underweight?
Well, you know what? Look at what Pat Beverly did to Lonzo. Pushed him around.
Foul.
Yeah.
Foul. It's called a foul.
Can you take the beating and the pounding?
Fouls.
Yeah.
That's what no one actually understands. They think, oh my God, this guy is this big. Oh, he's gonna beast through players. If I'm smaller and you try to check me and I stumble, foul. If I do the same thing to you, no foul, because you're stronger. So that means the stronger players take the worst beatings because it doesn't affect mm-hmm. them. So when you have LeBron crying down the court, is what we call it, he's crying down the court because everyone's like, oh, he's a crybaby. Because the fouls he feels, we don't see. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yo, I'm getting fucking fouled. Mm-hmm. Cousins. Yo, you're letting these guys hang on me. Get them off. That's what they cry about.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see it because we see he's stronger than everybody. He should be able to take those hits. Then you have somebody like James Harden who gets all the calls, or somebody like Westbrook who gets all the calls. Like me, I played in an era where I had Tim Duncan, Shaq, Kobe, Dwayne Wade, Yao Ming, all big guys, and I let everyone in free throws
mm-hmm.
because when I get hit, it actually looks like I get hit. So being strong actually goes against you. Like Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, but you were strong with the ball.
But I'm saying, but if you hit me, it looks like it. So you don't technically want to be as strong as you really like.
Yeah, that was Shaq is ridiculous.
Like Greek the
Freak. Like hang on his back.
Like Greek the Freak. If he plays a softer game, he'll have double the fouls committed. But because he plays so strong and want to bounce, and ref is like, that's it. He knows one of those.
Don't look at me for a
foul. Basically, that's what it is. Don't look at me for a foul. So Trey being little means nothing. If you try to hand check him and he falls on the ground, that's called a foul. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no such thing as being too little.
Well, even I was thinking the big men aren't as big as they used to be.
They're not a stick.
They're long as shit.
Yeah, they're long as shit. Because what ended up happening is 96 and 7, 5 and 4, really, technically, is what changed the NBA for forever. You had centers in high school coming in, Kevin Garnett, centers in college coming in. They're looking at Shaq and all these big monsters, and they're like, you know, let me go on in and play the four. Everyone's 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". And let me just tower over everyone. That's where the big ticket came. Like, you guys are so little. I just turn around and shoot over this whole generation of small, undersized power forward. I remember back then, power forwards were brute players. You know, they were brutes.
Antonio Davis, Dale Davis,
Oakley. They were just enforcers. They didn't really have talent. So, you know, Barkley being, you know, undersized, they have to stick him on offense. He didn't have to stick them because they averaged 2 points, four points. So, you know, grandmama, these guys didn't have to go against anybody unless they faced each other. But for the most part, Anthony Mason and you got Anthony Mason. You had, I remember.
Yeah, like Sean Kemp.
But I mean, other than Sean Kemp, everybody else was defenders.
Yeah.
They're just brute guys. So it worked. Then when, you know, then when you have Keith Van Horn, you got all these guys, that position became bigger, taller.
For KG was he had to be able to shoot, though. So if you're saying, okay, you want to step out into the perimeter.
Why do I need to shoot? You're 6'4". What do I need to shoot?
Shoot over him.
But I can turn around. I'm 7 foot. I can just turn around.
You wouldn't give Dale Davis a 19-foot jump shot.
I would.
You would give it to him, but a coach wouldn't let him shoot that.
Yeah. So what do I need to worry about? That's what I'm saying.
But KG could hit it.
But KG didn't shoot that then. Duncan didn't shoot that then.
They developed it.
But you got to remember, I developped it once taller players start coming.
But this idea you're saying when that revolutionized the game changed. So now KG would go to his, if he said, you know, I'm going to play out.
I'm going to play a center. I'm going to go against Shaq and all of them. And Duncan goes to Shaq and Keith Van Horn and all these.
KG didn't want to go against Shaq.
No, but that's why I said all these tall guys, center said, I'm not going against Shaq. Put me to the four so I could play against these little guys. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's seeing these big guys dominate this little group. And then eventually those four men had to become three men. Mm-hmm. Now everybody wants big fours. So they got big fours and big fives. So all our fives now, or all our fours now, were old school fives. Mm-hmm. Now our fives is like, So our four position became the dominant scoring position rather than our fucking five.
But fives are, because I'm thinking of, like, they're more skilled than ever.
Who?
Joel Embiid.
One.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, a guy like that, he is a legit five, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is.
There's still is that brother, like a guy like.
Remember back then.
Lopez, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah. But you got to remember back then, five men were the scoring.
Yeah.
The Shaqs, Hakeem's,
the
Patrick Ewing's,
the Rick Smith's. That Embiid is like in that mold?
Huh?
Because you had like Robinson, Ewing, Hakeem, Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah,
it died off.
You got to remember, because that's what I'm saying. Because all the five men that were coming in to keep the five men going said, hell no. Mm-hmm. I'm too skinny. I'm too little. I'm going to go to the four. Mm-hmm. So all the fives, all the big guys didn't want any part of that era. They jumped to the four.
But also 7-footers weren't that skilled. That was the other thing.
They were skilled. Alonzo Mourning, they were all skilled five men.
Not all of them.
They were, I mean, those guys. Like, you just named 6'7" men that are skilled. Then you go to
Rick. I'm talking about like.
Then you go to Rick Smith
and Will Perdue.
Yeah, but you got big guys. But what I'm saying is all the skilled five men that were coming in that to continue the five-man era all jumped to the four. Got to remember, if KG goes to the five, it continues. Mm-hmm. Duncan continues. Dirk continues. They said, fuck that, four. Mm-hmm. So now when you look at our five man, they're the DJs, brute. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at all our fives like...
But DJ, that's why I was getting to, like, these fives now are, like, athletic as shit.
They're athletic, but like they have no...
Gobert.
But they have no skill because all the skill went to the four man. Mm-hmm. Got to remember...
So if you're a 7 foot and really skilled, you're playing four.
But got to remember... Our four men in today's game are technically five men in the 80s and the 90s. So our skilled players said, I just go to the four. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Dirks came from.
And if you're less skilled, like...
I go to the five.
Yeah. But there's still, I'm saying there's still a lot of talent.
But so look at the difference on what's skilled versus... You have Ben Wallace at 6'8".
Perfect example, Andre Drummond. So look at that position now.
He's a 20 and 20 guy.
Yeah, 20 and 20. I'll take that production.
But that's what I'm saying.
At your five.
Five. But I'm saying. Hell yeah. But you have Ben Wallace, 6'8", 6'9", as the center.
Right. Because what could he do?
And Rasheed Wallace, 6'11", uh-huh, at the power forward. Mm-hmm. Because Ben, by the time Rasheed came in, Rasheed said, "I'm going to the four." Mm-hmm. Ben, I'm a center. So you get the two, and you're like, wait a minute. This looks awkward. You got the five. That's what I said. Our bigger guys and our skill guys went to the four because of...
And Jack, if you're like a banger, rebounder, shot blocker...
Yeah, now you're going to... Now you're playing the five.
There's still a place for you. I guess that's what I want to get to. The fives are still... People say like, oh, the big man in the center is dead. Yeah. I don't know. We're getting off topic here. We're
never getting off topic at all.
It all connects. So the idea of size for Trey... That was a doubt around him, so he delivered. And mm-hmm. That was great to see. But for you, I guess we've talked enough. Let's hand out the award. It goes to the numbers, right? That's what everyone looks to. And you're saying don't be fooled by the numbers.
I said that?
Let's look at the numbers. I'm saying that, I guess, because you have a point to make. You said it's not. It's because these numbers are close. They're like damn near identical.
I mean, who are you going with?
You first.
I'm giving it to Luka.
Well, okay, there we go. I'm gonna say that again.
I'm going to Luka.
Okay, why do you say Luka?
Because he's had a better year.
In what way? Because, like I said, the numbers are damn near identical. Do you want to rattle them off? Or you want me to? You have them written down there.
I mean, do you agree, or are you going with someone?
I agree. I think my reasons are probably different from yours, but I agree.
Okay, so we gave the award.
So, but the numbers, let's go real quick on them. Teams basically the same. Mediocre, around the 30 win mark by the time the season's over. Season's not quite over yet, but it's basically these guys are not playoff teams between Atlanta and Dallas. So right now for Trey's numbers, he's averaging 19, 3.7 assists, 3.7 rebounds, 8.1 assists, shooting 41% from the field, 32% from three. Go over to Luka. 21.2, 7.7, 5.9, 42% from the field, 32% from three. So these guys are identical, but I think for Luka, he started off immediately, established himself as he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Trey struggled out of the gate a little bit,
mm-hmm,
right? But to give Trey credit, he really put it on in the second half of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, the second half of the season.
But look at these numbers, like it's, you look at it, just do the eyeball test.
You do eyeball tests, it's Luka. You do the visual test, it's Luka. I mean, there's nothing that says Trey.
Okay. What? So for you, what is it for Luka, though, that stands out?
He averages more. He has more rebounds, three less assists. His team is two games better in the West.
But I would say it's funny, the teams kind of took a different... So Atlanta obviously is not, you know, like they're not dominant. In the East, they should probably be better. But I think Atlanta has better players around Trey right now. Because what Dallas did, obviously trading Dennis Smith Jr.,
mm-hmm,
is they got Porzingis not on the court. You know, they moved Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, like, we're going to invest in next
the future
season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Dirk, you know, mm-hmm, obviously, I don't know if he's going to retire. People tell me he's retired. I don't think he said that. So they need to build around him,
mm-hmm,
you know. So they're saying like this season is kind of just like establish yourselves, figure out how to play, get your reps and get your minutes in. But for Trey, it's like, no, win now and kind of establish this culture that Atlanta hasn't had. No. And they have good players around him.
Win now with what?
Atlanta?
Yeah, this is the same thing. They're building. They're trying to build something.
But like Collins, like I don't know that people really thought he was that going to be as effective as he is. Guys like Herter.
Like, but that's what you have.
Baysmore,
that's what, like, but you have the you have you got a young group. So
yeah,
right now
young,
you're just
nice
building.
Group. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have that draft pick. Don't mm-hmm. forget. So
I mean, the perfect thing for them is to get themselves like a third pick, fourth pick, mm-hmm. and then Dallas goes to six, mm-hmm. and they get like a third and a six, a four and a, you know, four and a six, a five and a six. I mean, that'll really boost them up for the future.
You know what we were saying about who you have on the roster and who you're playing with, though. Would it be, you know, R.J. Barrett or John Morant?
You can't pick neither of them because you already have Trae Young.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, you'll have the same situation as Dallas did when they got Dennis Smith and then you got Luka and then now you got to trade Dennis Smith because you'd rather have the ball in Luka's hand. Now, if somebody like R.J. Barrett gets there, now you have a 6'7" guy who can play the point. Who do you want the ball? And you know, so it's going to be one of those things that – if the wrong guard gets there, a bigger guard, and you're like, whoa, you know, his upside is more than Trey's, we might have to get rid of him.
So let's talk about that for a moment, the importance of that with, you know, I think people, when they first saw it, they were excited. So you have like Luka Doncic and Dennis Smith Jr. It's going to be a dope mm-hmm. backcourt, like so dynamic, and they're, you know, going to run and, you know, throw lobs and get in transition. This yeah. team will be fun to watch, which they were. So why break that up?
Because you okay, so... You remember when Magic got drafted to the Lakers?
It's before my time, but yeah, okay. I'm aware that it happened.
He was a small forward, mm-hmm. point guard, right? But he was a Magic man. But nobody realized that the Lakers had a point guard, Norm Nixon, who averaged more assists than – I mean, between the two of them, they damn near averaged 21 assists a game. I mean, you're talking about 10 and 9 versus 11 and 9. I mean, they were, you know, you got, you're basically, you're one and you're three man, basically are averaging 20 assists a game. 3 years, 4 years, you started realizing, you know, Magic with the ball. If we have Magic with the ball and go get a defender or a score, it probably makes our team a little bit better. But the fact that we got two guys doing the same thing, one is smaller than the other, we'll go with the taller guy. Because the taller guy can go from 1, 3, 4, 5 versus the one guy can only play the one position. So when you have Dennis Smith and Luka, you have one who can only play the point. You got one who can go 1, 2, or 3. You know, so you got one guy who can play three positions. So when you're sitting there watching the season play out and you're like, man, Luka's really, you know, the ball should be in his hand. And then, you know, with Dennis Smith Jr. off the ball, I mean, he doesn't look too good.
Yeah, that's not – I was going to say that's exactly not his game.
His game, no. So he didn't look, you know, his – you don't have – he's not coming downhill at you. He's not – you know, it's one of those things when Westbrook and James Harden was on a court and they kept putting the ball in James Harden's hand and let – Westbrook played a two. Westbrook didn't look too good. Because you got to remember, Westbrook coming downhill – Dennis Smith coming downhill full speed all the time is what gives them that danger. The fact that they got to start in a corner, get the ball, and then try to generate energy and generate that power didn't work too well. So, you know, when you're looking at these two, you're like, well, I don't think Dennis Smith is going to be in our future, so we got to really get rid of him now.
Right, and that's a really important decision because I'm thinking of the two backcourts that come to mind were Dame and CJ in Portland, John and Brad in D.C. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a situation where those guys can play together. It's hard,
yeah, because
too, they can play off the ball. They can play
But they're too
other.
Different. But it's too different. Bradley Beal can't play the one. He's
no,
a two.
But he can spot up. And same with
But I'm saying, CJ. But that works. See, that works. Because yeah. one is a point, one is a scorer.
And
same.
Dennis is not a spot-up shooter.
Dennis is not a spot-up.
Right. So I got to think.
No, it's not even Dennis is not a spot-up. Luka's can play the point. That's what I'm saying. Like imagine if early in her career, Klay Thompson actually could play the point. Like, he can actually bring the ball down. You know, at that point, you have a 6'7", 6'8" Curry who can play defense. You know, so now you have a whole different player. But and that's what happened with Luka, that Luka can actually play your position, but you can't play this one. So we want a guy who can multitask.
Yeah, and I got to think is like if you just kind of said, look, if we could get anybody, any kind of player to play with Luka, who would it be? And Porzingis is available, you go for that. Like, that's the decision.
That was a good decision. I mean, it depends. You still got to check out his injury to make sure that, you know, he will be better for the future.
Yeah, and I think teams confidently can say, like, coming off an ACL, like, things aren't what they were 10 years ago. So you know that, like, they can come back.
You know, I mean, to be honest,
effective and stronger.
ACL, depending on what kind of player you are. ACL for a big man who ain't really, I mean, he's mobile. So, I mean, he's going, you know. He ain't jumping like Amari Nim, but he's blocking shots. He's running up and down. So he's going to be affected a little bit by it early, you know, when he first comes back. But Mark, being who Mark is, he's not one of the other 30 or, I mean, other 29, 28, 27 teams that sit there and pay a guy and then try to rush him back. If he has to sit for a year or two, he's fine.
Pretty sure the man knows investments. Yeah. So he's investing. Yeah. It's a good investment.
He's investing for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Not, I just need this guy to make me money right now type of investment.
You know what? Speaking of investing, it's a perfect time for us to talk about Robinhood.
Man, my segues is nice.
Yeah, I mean, you hit me. I didn't even see. That was a no-look pass. So let me finish it. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood does not. You don't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. So for listeners of the No Chill podcast, Robinhood is giving them a free stock. That's a free stock.
Free.
Like, free. Free. Free like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. So what you do, you sign up at nochill.robinhood.com.
Mm-hmm.
One more time. nochill.robinhood.com. There it is. There it is. All right, so we're speaking of investing in the future. So let's go to Atlanta and let's go to Trey.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see out of him going forward? What does he need to add?
What does he need to add or what does the team need to add?
Him first.
I mean, the type of player he is, I mean, he's a scorer, can also pass the ball. I mean, you got to remember, this is his rookie season and the first 50 games, you know, he averaged about 16 to, you know, the last 16 games after All-Star, you know, he's averaging 25. So 25 and 9, to be exact. So he's picked it up. He has a feel for what the NBA, you know, what that NBA looks like. You remember, the first couple is a shock. But you still got to, at the end of the day, the last 16, you know, teams are not making the playoffs. Your players are already counting down, so they don't give a shit about the rest of the season. So, you know, as a player, that's when you can bump up, you know.
And I think as a coach, that when you can push them too. Like, look, use this time, you know.
Yeah, you start calling more plays, you know, the team, you know. So you try to basically put some confidence into the young guy going into the summer. You know, his first year, he knows what the this year was like. He has an understanding. And you're naturally gonna come back wiser, you know. That's what I said. So him, he's just do what you do. Work, you know. It's the team. What is your plan? Is your plan to build a team around him, or is your job to build a team? That's, you know, what do you build? Because build a team around him, or just build a team?
What do you think they should do?
It all depends on what the upside is. You know, if they think his upside is Curry, if they think his upside is, you know, being the next Curry, then you have to build a team exactly like Golden State.
Good luck with that.
No, what I mean is you got to think of what advantage Curry had. Curry had an advantage of shooters around him. So if I have shooters around me, you can't double me. You can't trap me. You can't really hard show me. So you have to make sure there is another shooter just as good or better than Trae Young at the two or the three. Your four man has to be a guy who can make plays. So if I do a pick and roll with the four, pass it back to that guy knows what to do. From there, you get guys who just are good at that particular job. You got to remember, as good as Golden State starting five was in 2014-15, their bench was fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. With Barbosa, Livingston, like they were that team. That team was damn near more. I really wanted to see the starting five versus the second unit in a practice. Because mm-hmm. you got Barbosa, you got Livingston, you got
Iggy
or Barnes, depending on which one they wanted. You had – that's a battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a real – you know, that's a real – but that's what tore teams
apart. That's why I say good luck is because, like, Golden State is a special category. Like,
but, I mean, but you so have to – but you have
all this talent.
But you have to look at the blueprint. You got to understand what the blueprint is. Like, everybody wants to say, man, the Golden State starting five was a killer. And I'm saying, wait, no. They were a killer. But that second unit was monsters. Because you got to remember, if Curry goes out, like people, like when Curry went out in the fourth, at the end of the third, up 12, the reason he wasn't coming in wasn't because they was winning by 30 when he left. It's because when it was time to sub him in, the second unit pushed the lead to 25-30.
Yeah.
So there was no point of putting Curry and Klay back in. Because the second unit just blew past this other second unit. So you got to keep them in. And that's what was going on. Like when I did the Cleveland series versus them, Cleveland starting five was beating the shit out of Golden State starting five. The year they won a championship. It was basically a plus 19. The starting five, it was a plus 19. Cleveland's bench unit versus Warriors. It was like plus 85 or some shit. It was fucking ridiculous. Horrible. But that's what won Golden State that first championship. It was that second unit that just came in just saying, fuck y'all.
But do you think you should build a team around, like, is Trae the one guy, like the alpha?
That's what I said. As a team, you have to make that decision as a team. Like, when you're looking at your team and you're looking at your roster and you say, okay, I got these young guys. I got Trae as my point guard. I got this guy at the wing. The team has to be built around what that player is great at. You know, you just can't say, I'm going to put talent onto – I'm just going to throw these pieces because they look great. That's not how players look great. You have to put, if you say, all right, Trae Young is my guy, I need a shooter, a playmaker, probably two more shooters on that court that's dead out shooting, and then I need a playmaker at the four that's going to always have the ball. My five can be dead weight, just a rebounder, block, you know, shot blocker. But I need my two and my three have to be able to hit shots. And then my four man make plays.
You know who's a free agent this summer?
Who?
Klay.
Okay. Klay's going to Atlanta. Good luck with that.
Is Atlanta a place for free agents?
No.
No. But it's a cool city.
It's not
as a visiting team.
It's not a basketball city. Mm. You know, it's when you, over the years, that city doesn't, like, you have basketball fans in that city, but it's not a basketball city. It's, you know, it's music, football. You know, that's the city.
So I'm a Braves fan, baseball, right? Mm-hmm. The thing about Atlanta, from when one of my best friends is from there, and he told me, he's like, man, Atlanta, they know the teams, they don't win.
But even
so
when
they don't believe you, like, oh, you made the playoffs, cool. They've had their heart broken in every sport. Like, think about, like, the Falcons were up in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
But you got to look at the city also. Like, what kind of?
But basketball talent and basketball culture in Atlanta, There's a history and there's a rich amount of talent.
High school, I remember that whole little area. George, you're going to have athletes coming out of that area, but for a fan base, doesn't have traditional basketball roots. So for a free agent, you're not going to swing that way.
Yeah, that's my question for them is if they can. I don't know who they could get as a free agent. If that's a free agent destination,
you're a free agent for them is someone like. He has Atlanta, roots, Georgia roots, that at this point he want to go back home. Or you get a guy, you probably won't get a top tier guy, but a second guy, you have your first five that's taking big money. So you got, Clay would technically be a second unit guy on free agency market. So you're going to have...
Second tier, you mean?
Second tier. So you're going to have... You have DeRozan, but you have Kawhi, first tier. You will have
KD.
Jimmy Butler, KD, all first tier guys.
Kyrie,
first tier guy. Now, those guys we already know are maxed. They're maxed, period. Second unit guys is Cousins.
Kemba.
Clay. Right? So now it's like you guys are not maxed. But someone gives you the max, I'm pretty sure you're going to go. So if Atlanta says, we want Klay Thompson, here's $200 million. I don't see how he turns it down for a $67, $80 million contract over here when he already has possibly a third ring. Mm-hmm. I don't see Cousins turning down Atlanta if they offered him a max.
From the South, that makes sense. I don't know if would you give him the max coming off the Achilles in half a season?
But, what does this half a season look like? It looks nice. Mm-hmm. You look all right. But so I'm because you before the injury, you was a max player. Mm-hmm. So you throw enough money at Cousins at this point, because you got to remember, Golden State can't afford him. Lakers is not going to give him the max because they got to still make some moves. Atlanta can throw him the max. Jordan can probably throw him some nice money to come down there to add with Kemba. There's pieces that's very important to teams that people don't really like. Klay's important in the free agency. Cousins is very free. He can change the dynamic of any team mm-hmm. he goes to that's sitting there on the borderline. If Boston gets him with Kyrie gone.
Wait, you're saying Kyrie's out?
I'm saying, automatically. With Kyrie gone, you add Cousins to that unit. That's a whole nother team, too. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, with Kyrie out of the lineup, that team still is not. That team is way better.
Yeah, you put Terry at the one.
Yeah, you put Terry at the one.
Yeah.
Just like they do when Kyrie's gone.
Because I think the guy for them really is Anthony Davis all the way. If he couldn't go to L.A., at Boston, they have a hard on him for him for years.
But you're gonna have to give up too much for him. Mm. So,
which Boogie you would get for nothing? Yeah. Not for you got to pay him, but I'm saying
You can let if Kyrie signs somewhere else, Kyrie's money goes to Boogie, mm-hmm. and your team is favorite in the East mm-hmm. by far because the only one position you really don't have is a big man.
I don't know by far.
By far,
Philly keeps that group together.
You just got to keep adding.
That's another tier. Tobias, free agent too.
Mm-hmm. They'll keep him.
Mm-hmm. But Atlanta, I think they have a bright future.
No.
Okay. Why?
It's Atlanta.
Come on, man. Be optimistic.
It's Atlanta, dude. Bright future to do what? Get a couple free agents, get rid of the young guys, get some more young guys, get rid of those.
Well, like you just said, it's not really a free – I guess that's why I asked it. It's not really a free agency destination, so they got to go young and they got to keep them there.
That doesn't happen in this thing we call the NBA. Mm. You have to build through free agencies or get lucky in a draft. That's how that works.
Or be smart in the draft.
Yeah.
Know how to draft. Mm-hmm. That's what San Antonio. Yeah. They were getting free agents. Yeah. So
they got free agents, but you're getting
– Oof.
All your free agents, they're $5 million guys, $3 million guys, $2 million.
But I'm saying they didn't get that superstar
free agent. No, they didn't have to.
Right. They knew they had mm-hmm. pieces, but they knew how to draft the franchise mm-hmm. players. And I think that was a thing for Atlanta too, is, you know, the question about building around that one guy. San Antonio didn't exactly do that. They had the right pieces. So mm-hmm. it was like how they worked. And I think if you're dependent on...
They did
on
build one, around one guy.
Well, they did. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, like, they... If you were... The thing with Trey, or any player, really, is, like, if that guy gets hurt and you got nothing, then you need another guy to step up that has mm-hmm. the talent to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's the risk of building around one guy. But I do think the future is bright for Atlanta. I want to give... That's good news. I love...
All right.
Better than it was. Okay. Like, yeah, they're watchable. I mean, they're watchable. Hey, last couple years, oof.
If you're a fan of it, if you're a fan of that team, they're watchable. Everyone's watchable.
You have an exciting player. And I think that's the thing, you know, when you have a team, you want a star that at least has some style mm-hmm. and at least is like he's an attraction.
Yeah, you look good losing. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. You know.
But so they have that now. Uh-huh. And I think the thing for Trey is that he wasn't my guy for rookie of the year because he wasn't wire to wire. I feel mm-hmm. like Luka has just been that way to wire to wire. But the good news for him is that he improved as he went along. And I think the thing, everyone thought he could just shoot, he could bomb from long mm-hmm. distance. The kid's a hell of a passer.
Yeah.
And his assist numbers.
But if you watch his high school highlights, you can tell. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard in the NBA. It's different.
It's easier.
If you
have the right talent, it's easier. Because you got to remember...
Right talent around you.
No, right talent as a player. You got to remember, he can dribble and shoot. He can create his own shots. He doesn't necessarily need a pick and roll. So, in high school, they're going to double him and sit in a zone. In college, double him, sit in a zone. So, you're neutralizing the talent by a hard zone and doubling and a box and one. They don't do that in the next level. So... You have more freedom. That's why you have an athlete like someone like Zach LaVine come off the bench. You know, he come off the bench and then you're an NBA star. There's a difference. You know, his talent might not really show in a college setting because of the rules. You know, it's like having a Ferrari in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. You don't get to open that thing.
Yeah, you look. Yeah, it looks cool. Mm-hmm. You look. I'm gonna look, but that doesn't really show. Mm-hmm. I need you to have some freeway, and that's what the NBA is. NBA is a freeway. One on one, stay on your man, open court. You know,
that's cool. That is. It is. It is a freeway. We want to see it like mm-hmm. high octane. But the thing for Luka to me that I was just most impressed by is this kid is 19 years old and he had. Like just
he was balled. 18. He was 18 when he came in.
Yeah, 19 now.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he just came in. He knew who he was right away. And he had the balls. I think playing point guard in the NBA, yes, is not as physical, but it's like football as a quarterback. When you get to the NFL, just things are moving so fast. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it's the high octane, the freeway. So to be able to come out there and see the game slows down for you immediately, that's the thing that impressed me most about Luka. And I think for Trey, it took a minute.
Yeah.
Like we saw his assist numbers went up. So you're saying...
Yeah, that's what I said. He realized... See, the difference between Luka and Trey is Luka played professional mm-hmm. for a while. So in that professional setting, you got to remember it's higher than college. So that professional, he's seeing... The game. That game to him is slower. It's slower, so his reads have to be better. His reads have to be more precise. Like everything in EuroLeague has to count because you don't have up and down trying to score 130. You don't have that. You have, like, if you average 16, 6 and 5 in that league, you're a megastar. You know, so when he comes to the NBA, the top tier league, and he's averaging 21-7-6. Everyone's like, "What the fuck?" Because he's like, "This is much easier than where I came from because the league is open. The league is open."
And everyone was doing that at 15.
The league is open, and you know what the biggest part is? These guys are not that skilled. Like when people hear me say skill is this. Dribbling, shooting, passing. That's something you have to teach yourself. It's a skill. You're a gift is body. You get tall, height. IQ and jumping ability. That is a gift. See, everyone in the NBA is gifted. So when he looks at the NBA, he's looking at, oh, they're not that skilled. They're just raw, gifted
but
talent.
But they're athletic.
That's a gift.
Yeah.
This gift, like my skill level, in my other league, everyone had to be skilled because they didn't have gifts. Mm-hmm. The gifts they didn't have a lot of gift. There wasn't God given. There was not everyone jumping 45 inches off the ground. No, I don't have that. So everyone has to be skilled to be good in that league. So when he comes here and he goes and he's like, oh, I need a pump fake or do a step back. And he realizes they jump, they lose position, they go for every fake, they go for every drive, and I got to step back, I'm wide open. And he realizes, oh, their skill level is not where it's supposed to be. They're very talented, but they're not skilled. And that's what makes the game easier for him. Is I'm more skilled than everyone here.
Yeah, and I think that was the major question mark around him. And he answered it. I'm skilled.
And what's so funny is when I tell people, I said, you know, Kobe was an average athlete. You know, like he was average. Like if we took his name, if we take all the 6'6 guards, 6'6 shooting guards, take all the names off the board and just say, all right, who's Jordan? Everyone will look. Oh, yeah, the guy with the 46-inch mm-hmm. fast twitch muscles, blah, blah, blah. All right, where's Kobe? You would never find him because 38-inch vertical.
38 six, inch is still legit. I mean, I
for like, shooting.
Think of him in the dunk contest. Like that.
Yeah, but you're 6'6", so that 6'6", nice arm size
between the leg. Like yeah. The way he could come.
That doesn't. That, but that's
360s as a.
Yeah, but that. What I'm saying is, but that's a 38. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about Zach Levine, 45. You're talking about DeRozan, 40. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk about the average of a two guard. I mean, Clay probably 34. Ray Allen. 38. You know, so you're trying to figure out, so if you took his and put it there, you wouldn't find him because all his stats was average, basically, compared to everyone that's coming through the league. The bottoms from Clay's to, you know, you got your Zach Levine's and Jordan's. Kobe's going to be average. He was more skilled than everyone.
Right.
He was skilled. Okay, you like the jump. Okay, guy. Okay, get up there. Get up there, you know. And that's why when you see him pump 6-7 times, because he knows. He's raw. He's going to jump at some point.
He knows how to get you in the blender.
Yeah, he's going
to
sit there and jump. He can't help himself. Look, watch the gift. Okay, got you. Like, and that's what he was doing. And his skill level was way above most guys' gifts.
All right. So I know your answer for this. Would you rather be skilled or super athletic?
Super athletic.
Yeah. Maybe like just for a day?
No. I'd rather be super athletic.
Like skilled will kind of always will win out.
No. See, that's where Jordan was super athletic and skilled.
But I'm saying you can have one or the other. Like I'm a genie. I'll give you one wish.
I'd rather be athletic. Because your wish, my wish is athleticism. I can work on skills.
You can work on the skill. That's why I know your answer on that. But I'm saying, like, for one day, I can put you at the, I can give you this ability.
In a game?
Yeah. So the super athleticism is great, but my point is, you really want the skill to back it up.
Yeah, your skill, like, being super athletic, it gets you to a certain point in your career. That's why, you know, like Zion, it helped you through high school. It helped you kill college. But when you go to the next level, everyone is athletes. Like, you got to remember, you're on a court in college basketball. Like, I remember I played against probably two lottery picks. Both of them wasn't in my position. So it really didn't even, there. No one really tested me for the next level because I didn't have to. There was nobody who's in, you know. So it was like, what did I really play against when you really think about it? So with him, it's, did the guys you play against in college actually give you a threat, or were they just an extension of high school? You know, because you got to remember, you are the super stud there. And the second super stud is on your team. And the third is on your team. And the fourth is on your team. You know, that's your team versus this. You know, so when you talk about going to the next level, your athleticism only gets you so far. From there, to be above, you have to be skilled at some point. You have, like Westbrook is athletic. He has a different type of skill. Mm-hmm. Curry is all skill. Then you have someone like Kevin Durant, whose height gives him an advantage, arms give him an advantage, shooting gives him an advantage.
I say genetics for
him. A little athleticism, but he's skilled.
Yeah.
Right now, Greek the Freak is playing off of all gifts. His skill ain't really there yet. You know, he's not skilled. You know, it's basically, well, I had trouble posting players up because they can double me quicker. You know, this is a little harder at the four, and I can't really do. Okay, I'm just going to dribble the ball coming full speed the whole time.
Or back you down.
Yeah, but
I have a 8-foot wingspan.
Yeah, so with him, you realize he's learning, like, until I get my skill, I'm going to be point power forward. You know what I mean? I'm going to be point power, and I can bring. So now you see someone like Cousins. Skilled.
Super skilled.
He's super skilled. Anthony Davis, talent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
But I think, like, for Zion, a guy like Sean Kemp.
You mean 6'9", 6'10"?
No, I mean freak athlete, right? Could jump out of gym.
Yeah, you know, can we, you know, just...
Are we talking too much Zion?
No. Just for, when we talk about Zion, can we put him with the same size person he is? Like, don't tell me he's Blake Griffin.
No,
Griffin,
I'm not talking about...
He's 6'10". Don't say he's Sean Kemp and Sean Kemp is 6'9". Like...
But also, I believe it. Like, there is only one Sean Kemp. There is only one Blake Griffin. That's
No. You have your guy.
My point on Blake and Sean Kemp and Zion is that Sean didn't have a lot of the skills. He got by on athleticism.
He got back. But you got to remember, just like Blake Griffin, what skill did he have? He couldn't back you down. Couldn't post up. He couldn't do that. All he did was just sit on the top, sit there, wait for Chris Paul to get in the lane, come in and dunk. You know. And then eventually, he started learning how to shoot a jumper. Got a little more dribbling. Now he's way more skilled than he was when he first came in.
Yeah, and you gotta believe that's gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, but you gotta remember, he's still 6'10". Mm-hmm. He's still 6'10".
At the end of the day, you can fall back on that.
He's still 6'10". So
for Zion, he has a 44-inch vertical.
Blake Griffin has a 43 at 6'10". So when you wanna go mathematics, 44-inch vertical at 6'6". All right? To match his jumping ability and athleticism, 6'10 at a 35-inch vertical matches Zion. That's every three-man. That's every four-man. You know, and that's why I said, you know, at the three and a four, as a super, you got to remember, he's considered a super athlete. But just like anything, no matter how super you are, if I put you in the wrong element, your super doesn't mean nothing. If I take a Bugatti or a Ferrari and put it in LA Freeway at 4 or 5 o'clock, how great does that, how fast does that car look?
It's like a Ford 150.
Yeah, your engine is meaningless at this point because I put you in the wrong setting. 6'6". 44-inch vertical versus 6'10 guys, 6 at 40-inch verticals, 38-inch verticals, your engine doesn't look great. Now you take this 6'6 body and you put them and you say, listen, this whole summer, we're going to get you down to 240. We're going to work only on your dribbling and pull-up skills. This summer, dribbling, pull-up skills, and we're going to throw you at the two. That means he's coming downhill on everybody with a 40-inch vertical, which still stronger than every, he's going to still, at 240, he's still stronger than every two guard. Coming downhill with his explosion. Unstoppable. That's where you, now he's unstoppable. Now he's on the freeway with no traffic at midnight. That engine's gone. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you want to put him at the 3 and a 4, you're putting him in traffic. You're putting him to fail. And that's why I said, like, right now, for his size, people don't understand, for his size, he doesn't have skill for his size and his weight and his height as a guard. I consider him a guard. If we put him as a guard, oh, he's God. Mm-hmm. He's coming down here. He's a more explosive Westbrook. He's a more explosive and stronger Westbrook, jumps higher than Zach LaVine or around the same.
Woo. Holy shit.
Yeah, now you
but
see.
But he's got to add a jumper.
But now you see what my vision is.
I know your point. It's funny. I was going to say, you know, you said he doesn't have the height, but he has a vertical. But yeah, you don't want me to say it. He has the weight. But we can't talk about weight anymore.
Remember, he has the weight to do what?
Just 285. We're talking about like Trey's weight.
You know what?
I shouldn't have even said it.
Because.
But I'm saying like that's.
I want to ask you something.
That's a big body.
I'm going to ask you something because I see the narrative that's been pushed. Like, man, we never seen a guy 6'6", 285.
No, I think that's the thing that we forget. Like Rodney Rogers. You know, like that. We've seen big bodies before.
Yeah, but not explode. So.
But now
I'm going to like 280. Got to remember what makes him impressive. If it's the narrative they put that he weighs 285, like we've never seen
like a
beast this big. Okay, Boris Diaw, 6'9", 6'8".
Yeah, but he had a 4-inch vertical.
6'8". But 6'8". Mm-hmm. 270. 260.
Talk about skill, offensive player.
260. This is only 260. Mm-hmm. At 6'8", 2 inches taller, was it 14 inches lighter, weight clause. Put a $500,000 weight clause. If you stay under 250, we'll give you $500,000 extra to stay under 250. Okay, Mike Sweetney, 284, 6'9", fat. Need a weight clause. Mm-hmm. Robert, RIP, tractor trailer, mm-hmm. 286, 6'8", fat. We need a weight clause. Shaq, rookie weight, 7 foot, 285. 3 years later, over 300. So when I look at a big body at 18 that says 285 at 18, I'm not looking at it the same. I'm looking at, wait a minute, you caught that kind of weight and strength. It's all muscle, strength at 18. If you think about an 18-year-old, no way in hell can he pick up 10 pounds, let alone 40 in a summer. So it tells you that, okay, he's probably done growing. And that was college weightlifting. What happens when he NBA weightlifts and he's not as active in the NBA as he is in college? You got to remember, college, we're practicing, what is it, 5 days a week?
But Zion's not fat.
No, let's but what that. I'm saying
he's
is
solid.
Solid. But solid,
like those guys you said, like, they were weight problems.
But it's still weight.
They were doughy.
But it's still weight. You got to remember it. Weight is weight. Weight is weight.
But would you
a
want...
A pound of feathers and a pound is weight. It still weighs the same. Okay. So,
but 280 pounds of muscle versus 280 pounds of dough. Like the muscle is...
Okay, now...
You can work with that.
Now, you take this 285 now in college and say, this summer, we're going to train you. You got to get ready for the NBA, the big boys. Mm-hmm. Lifting right. He's 300. How attractive does that look now?
No, I don't think he adds weight. I think he can cut 10.
But that's what I'm saying. So now he has, his whole career has to be cutting weight. Mm-hmm. Like I said, go through one NBA lift weight program. He's 300.
Weight lifting.
That's what I'm talking
about. You're doing band stuff. You're doing core
stuff. But think about what I'm saying. Because you got to remember from his senior year to here, he gained 40 pounds. Mm. Must have been lifting. So if he lifts and he keeps lifting, he's 300. Now does it sound attractive? 6'6", 300. No. Now if he has at 300, at 285, get him 285, that's 15 pounds. 15 pounds of before 300.
It's close.
In an age where you don't gain weight. After 21, that's when you can pick up muscle. Greek, that's when you can pick up muscle. You pick up muscle after 21, after you're done growing. Greek picked up 30 pounds after 21. So if you're 285 at 18, when you're 21, and you've been in the NBA 3 years, you got to remember, college players are more active every day than an NBA player. You practice 5 days a week with two practices. Your practices are 2.5 hours. An NBA practice, an hour, hour and a half at most, two times a week. You got three games.
You have NBA teams, you have nutritionists, you have strength and conditioning.
What?
If they definitely have invested, like every, I don't know if the number, I would say 30 out of 30, though.
You believe that?
For sure.
You believe
that? It's part of the investment. Talk about Cuban. He invests in those kind of things.
You have an amazing investment, right? Mm-hmm. Now I want you to do actual research. Your mind says invest it great, right?
Well, what you say, I know what you're getting to is like you're not around that all the time, though.
You're around that for an hour and a half.
No, to get on a diet. Nutrition
is an hour and a half.
Here's your meals for the day.
You give me a breakfast. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You give me a lunch when I'm at practice. Okay. Thank you. I had two meals by 11 o'clock. Now I have the rest of the day nothing.
As an 18, 19-year-old, you got to figure as an adult, you know how to take it. You're not going to play Fortnite and, you know, eat gummy bears. Like, that's the point of nutrition. Like, here's what you're going to eat today. This is how you're going to manage your weight.
That's the illusion that everyone does not realize. When I say you're more active in college, how many classes are you going to in college?
Zion or me?
Anyone.
Most students, yeah, I'd say three a day.
Three a day. Three, even though you got five or six. Mm. Let's say he only went two.
Every day.
Two days he went to practice. I mean, he went to walking around campus, yeah. 2 hours. You know, you're walking around. You practice for the 2 hours. Like, you really moving throughout the week. In the NBA, you wake up, go to practice for an hour and a half. The rest of the day, you're home, sitting on the couch, trying to figure out what the fuck to do.
Well,
sitting there playing video games. You're not going to be, okay, you sit there and get shots up. You spend an hour. I have 22 more hours before I have to be back to practice. So you're sitting and sitting and sitting. And then when you do play a game, it's 38 minutes. Mm-hmm. 30.
That is
college,
being a professional.
College, 2.5 hours. NBA, you play 38 minutes. Then you're on a plane. Eat 38 minutes. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I know that. I'm saying.
That's what I said. Do I got to break it?
Wait,
I got to break it down for you.
You're not playing for 2.5 hours in college.
Your practice is 2.5 hours in college. 2 hours of practice.
Okay, so I'm saying game time, though.
40 minutes.
Game days.
Game days is that. But you got 2.5 practice. And then game day. In NBA, you got an hour practice, maybe. Hour and a half. And then you have games where you're only getting 30 minutes. So you got more games at 38 minutes than practices at 2 hours versus college. So you go 5-2 there. So you got 5, 2.5. Then you got 38 minutes and 40. Here, you got 5, 4, 38 minutes. With no practice. So naturally, you're not running and jumping as much. So your calorie loss is going to be way less in an NBA.
But you have the resources of a nutritionist. It's on you. You're
no
a professional.
Matter
go
how,
work out. Go no be matter, in the gym. Go take care of your body. That's part of being a professional. You know that.
Yeah. But look at the reality. Take a picture from a guy who comes in at training camp in October 1st, November 1st. Look at their body then look at it now. Fat, doughy. Look at James Harden. He looks doughy, right?
No.
What?
No, he looks...
Versus when you first saw him.
The guy I was thinking of this, guys that have lost weight, which is most basketball players aren't that big. They're, mm-hmm. they're lean guy. Kevin Love.
In the summer...
No, but think of UCLA Kevin Love.
But in the summer, he did that in the summer because he was fat and doughy in the summer. So he had to lose all that weight to come into
the NBA. But what he is physically now is not what he was when he was in Minnesota.
No. Yeah, he was. He was. No. But that's what I'm saying. But he had to go. He had to lose weight, right. though. But that's what I'm saying.
So it can be done.
Not during the season. This is a summer turn.
The season's different.
What I'm saying is you gain, like... If I came in, I came in a training camp at 206. 206 was my training camp weight. My playing weight was 220. So that means 16 pounds was jumping on me for the season.
But did you plan on that?
No, that's just, I'm a scale guy. So I'm jumping on a scale and then sitting like, God damn, I'm fat. No.
You can't get on scale.
But you got to remember. Yeah.
Not good for your confidence.
But it's Gatorade. You're going to drink 3 Gatorades, 2 Gatorades during the game. You're just you're just sitting there guzzling. Yeah, you're not knowing. And like college is water and a little light Gatorade. NBA is Gatorade, and all these syrupy drinks. So you're gaining weight during the season. That's why if you look at your athlete, he looks fat. Like majority of them, they're gonna still go. Oh, he picked up.
Well, I would say that. Like, well, from what I know, summertime off season is when you work on your body. That's you train.
That's when you're supposed
you're getting
to.
Your fighting weight. When you're in season, it's maintenance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So think about it.
So I wouldn't say Harden is fat.
I mean, he's not fat, but if you look at him from compared to when he came in this season,
he's just taking care of his body.
No, I guarantee you, if you did his weight at the beginning of the season, now he gained about 10, 12 pounds. That's just natural. That's just how the season goes. It's like, because you got to remember, you're running throughout the summer. You're not running during the season like that. You can't. So I can't say I played 38 minutes. We got a game tomorrow. Let me do a two extra miles. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to wear yourself out. So you can't really, you got to remember, you have 82 games. So you, in traveling, you can't really try to keep in shape during the season.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we saw the video that came out after he dropped 61. He was in the weight room then.
Yeah.
Right.
He's in the weight room, you know, trying to keep, maintain his
that's
body.
What it is.
Yeah.
But you can't say like, oh, I'm going
to work. Because he's still trying to, you got to remember, I'm still trying to burn calories. So I don't want to jump on the treadmill and put more wear and tear on my legs.
But that was my thing of it when, you know, knowing this from you is like, yeah, this is because he went for 61, but he wasn't gassed to where So,
but that's what I said, you know, players
like a young guy like a Zion will have to know, like, they'll learn that.
But that's what I'm saying. But you're talking about a guy who's already tipping.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're tipping. Like, you're already, like, it's like, think about 15 pounds. I'm telling you, I gained 15 pounds during a season. 15 pounds, just him just being, and you got to remember, I'm in the gym 3 times a day and I gained 15 pounds. Didn't lift one weight. I ain't touching no weights during the season. None. My arm was, it was straight. It ain't no definition in it. So if I'm 206 and I'm getting to 220 and he comes in at 285, like muscle or not, 300 sounds, 290 sounds bad, right? Mm-hmm. 295, like that's what, who made 285 sound amazing? If 295 is like, ooh, that's kind of, 295, ooh, that's kind of, 285 is nice. 26, LeBron James at 6'10", 265 was like, oh, he's, now 285
it's
is
like
that?
A tight end.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm him personally, or I'm pretty sure they're going to be smart enough, whoever his crew is, to get him down to 260, 255 going into the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be the smartest thing. Because 262, you can't tell. Like, does he look bigger than he was in high school?
No, he's
a big guy. So, I mean, general, that's what I'm saying. So 20-pound loss helps your knees, help everything. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a chance for some wiggle room. Like, you got to remember, you already played at 285. So, you know what it feels like. If you get down to 260 this summer, you have vacation, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
And it's how you.
But it's being a pro. But gotta remember, if no one speaks on it and tells you, hey, listen, the NBA is not like college. You do not work out as hard or as much as you do in college. So you can gain weight being a guy who's averaging, you know, 30 points a game. But you gotta remember, those 38 points a game, you're only playing 38 minutes. You're playing 42 minutes. That's it. Like 42 minutes, you did a mile and a half, maybe. That's not enough to keep weight off. Two Gatorades. And then you're going to be sitting at home the whole time, resting. You know. But nobody tells you that you fucking gain weight during the season. Like, I mean, listen. Shaq worked out his whole career, right?
No.
And run. But why? Who said he didn't? The weight said he did it. The weight said he did it.
Pretty sure he was on the record of saying he could play himself into shape.
But that
was the problem with him.
But he's running up and down, playing 38 minutes a game, and still gaining weight.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, if you want to lose weight, go to cycle class or something.
It's the summer. It's the summer's where you get to really cut.
But it's also
diet.
The combination of eating right and, you know, taking care of yourself.
You know, to be honest, it's hard. Like, people don't like being on a diet in the summer is easier than being on a diet in the NBA. You got to remember, I can calorie count. I can eat breakfast, work out, do this. So I'm going to burn and look amazing. In the season, it's like, well, lunch, I'm falling asleep. Got to get ready for the game. Probably put something in there. And then we played. And after the game, normally in the summer, I wouldn't eat. After the game, game's over at 10 o'clock. There's nothing healthy out. I go to the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And then let's say we go on a plane. Plain food's bad. I got to eat that. Then we get to the hotel 3 a.m. I'm hungry. Eat bad food. I mean, I ate burgers, soda, drunk soda, and ice cream during the season.
Most nutritionists wouldn't advise
during the season. Yeah, I never ate that shit in the summer. It wasn't even attractive in the summer. Didn't even look at it in the summer. It was just my NBA meal for some reason. It's the only thing that can actually shut my motor down. But in the summer, I didn't eat no chocolate or no ice cream or no burgers. Or what the hell is that? That's how I can get down to 206, 208.
The good news is when you're younger, your metabolism's going to fire. So we can. When you get older, we know you got to take care of it. But back to our rookies. It's a hell of a rookie class this year. That was, for me, that was my best takeaway, was to see these guys like Bagley and Nathan and, you know, they. And along with Trey and Luca, our rookie of the year, hats off to him. We got hats on in this episode.
Yeah.
You saw that little segue?
I segue.
Yeah.
But Luca's going to get it.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't matter. They get it from us. No chill rookie of the year.
Yeah. Luca gets it.
Luca it is.
It's smart for the NBA to give it to Luca. Mm-hmm. International.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that too.
You get the international, it broadens, you know, the whole spectrum of the NBA, gives hope. Throughout the world,
you know, proof.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You give it gives hope if he gets it. That's what you want. You want those players from overseas to get better and come here, because this is what can happen. Mm-hmm.